Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
What you looking for? The same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the rope below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on!
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the Frank Guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the
art. Cause some they never had this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome, a public enemy. Used, abused, without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Hello, once again. And you know what time it is. It's the Master Plan. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. Chat room is open. It's always open. Open season, as we always do. Put your comments, question, make a statement. You do what you do in the chat room, and I'll respond to it as best I can. What you put in is what you're going to get out. So if you decide to be hostile in the chat room, you just may get that back from me. All depends on how you act. Today, it's divisional playoff weekend in the NFL, and the theme of this, we started off, is don't believe the hype. All week, the hype was certain teams were going to prevail. And guess what? That's why I say don't believe the hype, because the hype didn't come through for some of these teams. They may have been reading their own press clippings. You know what I'm saying? Baltimore goes into a hostile environment second time around, excuse me, playing the Denver Broncos. Last time wasn't a nice finish for the Broncos. For the Ravens. But you know what? Denver, favored by 9.5, with a hot Denver team winning 11 straight off, coming off of a bye, waiting for the Baltimore Ravens, who had a tough game in the first round. And guess what? Guess what?
In general, is sincere.
Peyton Manning and the Broncos riding an 11-game win streak into their divisional round matchup with the Ravens. Would this be Ray Lewis's last game in the NFL? Well, Trindon Holiday hopes so. He had a 90-yard punt return for a score in the first half and takes this kickoff first play, second half, 104 yards back, and Denver goes up top 28-21. But tied at 28, midway through the fourth, Manning for Demaryius Thomas, who breaks the tackle and finds the end zone. Broncos back in front, 35-28. So with under a minute to go, it's Joe Flacco going up top for Jacoby Jones. He gets behind the safety Raheem Moore with 31 seconds to go. They hook up for a 70-yard touchdown. Moore misplaying it badly. This game was even at 35 and on to overtime. In the extra session, it's Manning looking the way of Brandon Stokley, but it's Corey Graham, who earlier had a pick six, stepping in front for his second interception of the day. That set things up for Justin Tucker in the second overtime from 47 yards out, and the Baltimore Ravens are on to the AFC Championship.
And the Ravens, who came off that 24-9 win off the Colts, were only 4-4 in the regular season on the road, the Broncos coming off a bye and 7-1 at home, and like I said, was having an 11-game winning streak. They played in Week 15 when Ray Lewis wasn't there and some others, and the Ravens lost 34-17 at home against the Broncos. And this was played at Denver, where the temperature was 14 degrees with a wind chill around 2 to minus 2, somewhere along there. So it was very extremely cold. And 9.5-point favorites. But little did you know, well, most people know, I should say, and know that 9-11 is Peyton Manning's record in the playoffs. It was 9-10 going into the game. Now it's 9-11. And who throws that fateful pick near the end of the first overtime? Peyton Manning, who sets up 10 seconds into the second overtime. Baltimore kicks a game-winning field goal and meets the winner of the Texans and the Patriots. Now, I'll be going over that game. I'll be talking about that game after I recap what took place on Saturday. And then the next game, Green Bay versus San Francisco. Guess what happened there? San Francisco was favored by 3. Okay? Some people thought that Green Bay would go in there and avenge the loss that San Francisco laid on them earlier in the year when they won 30-22. So, you know, 49ers entered the season 11-4-1. They were 6-1-1 at home. The Packers struggled through the early part of the schedule and then went 9-1 the rest of the way until week 17 when they had nothing to win, and they lost that. But you thought the Packers were ready. They had Charles Woodson back. They had some guys that were struggling near the end of the season. With injuries back, you figured, and a lot of people, even though the line was 3, a lot of people were talking that the Pack would prevail in this game, given the, excuse me, I'm very sorry about that, given the offensive firepower that the Packers had and a halfway decent defense, versus a quarterback who took over, I would say, probably mid-season. And a lot of people were skeptical about him going into his first playoff game against a high-powered offense. Not that he plays defense, but what I'm saying is this, that more than likely in these games that he would have to put up huge numbers or help his team generate points in order to stay up with the offense of Green Bay, because it was, I would say, a foregone conclusion, but it was just expected that Green Bay would put up some points. Could Colin Kaepernick do that?
There's Colin Kaepernick on center stage, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in San Francisco to get the Niners. First drive of the game, Kaepernick flushed out of the pocket. He looks the way of Vernon Davis. Instead, Sam Shields steps in front, going 52 yards the other way in the pick six, and it's the Green Bay defense that gets him on the board first. Boy, did Kaepernick make amends later in the second quarter. This one in tight coverage, finding Michael Crabtree, second scoring strike of the day for that duo at San Francisco, up 21-14. Kaepernick threw for 263 and a pair of scores. Meantime, Aaron Rodgers finds James Jones, had this game even at 21. Later in the third, even at 24. What did Jim Harbaugh do the right thing with going with Kaepernick? Here he calls his own number, 56 yards. He ran for 183 and a pair of touches as well. This one had him up 31-24. The Niners had two 93-yard drives in that fourth quarter. Frank Gore caps this one from 2 yards out. He ran for 119. They put up 581 yards of offense, and they're on to the NFC title game.
Yes, and you know, You know that a lot of people were saying that Jim Harbaugh was taking a hell of a chance by starting Colin Kaepernick in the past few seasons. in the past few games over Alex Smith, who the only reason he lost his starting job is because he had a concussion. So Colin Kaepernick filled in. Jim Harbaugh saw Colin Kaepernick played, and decided, Alex, you take a seat. I like Colin better. And you have to think about this. Last season, when Harbaugh took over the 49ers, they drafted Colin Kaepernick. Okay, Alex Smith he inherited, so he did his best he could with Alex Smith the last season, and that took him to the NFC playoff championship. Now, like I said, he had put Colin Kaepernick in a few plays last year, and then he started incorporating him more into the offense this year until Alex Smith sustained a concussion. And then I don't know if he used it as an excuse or his opportunity, and Harbaugh decided to put him in there. He played relatively well in his first start. Harbaugh must have seen something in the team's language and the way that the team responded to Kaepernick and decided, you know what, I'm gonna take a chance here. I don't know if he thought it was a chance. I think he was pretty confident in what he was doing. A lot of naysayers in the so-called media decided he was insane for taking a quarterback that had over 100 quarterback rating and keep him on the bench and put this relatively unknown into the that position and ride him. But, like I said, kid, when he was a rookie drafted last year from the University of Nevada, who holds the he drafted, and so this is his boy. This is the one I wouldn't say he's hanging his hat on when he drafted him. But he saw something in his kid that could benefit. And I've said on several shows, the FSP Crew Show, No Chaser Show, the FSP Crew Show, which is on Thursday night, 8 p.m. I'm the host. I got two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. I'm on No Chaser, which is at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Friday night. Mac Williams is the host. I am the co-host of that. And on the FSP Show, which is hosted by Vic Gardner, and I am the co-host of that. So you get me 4 days. Two of them are days, and two of them are at night. But you get me four times, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I've said it on all those shows. The coming trend here is not a mobile, not a running quarterback, but a mobile quarterback, one that can move very fluently in the pocket and if have to, tuck the ball and run. You have RG3. You have Russell Wilson. You have Colin Kaepernick. You have Michael Vick. I may be leaving someone out, but it's not on purpose. But that's the wave of the future, with the read option being a lot of these guys, except for Michael Vick. A lot of these guys are running the read. Cam Newton too. Read option, where these guys can be incorporated into the run defense and run offense and give the defenses fits, because they don't know if the running back's getting the ball. They don't know if the quarterback's going to now run with the ball or move around in the pocket and or out of the pocket and throw the ball down the field. And these guys are doing it with accuracy. That's the deal. I mean, you have Jake Locker, you have to a degree Christian Ponder, but these guys are nowhere as accurate as the ones I mentioned before. Cam Newton, highly accurate. Colin Kaepernick, highly accurate. Russell Wilson, extremely accurate. RG3, extremely accurate. Christian Ponder, Jake Locker, Jake Locker's more accurate running around, being mobile, than he is in the pocket, but he's still not an accurate quarterback. And also, Christian Ponder is not an extremely accurate quarterback, but they're mobile. So I just named you, what, six quarterbacks that are mobile, give or take, whatever it was. And you have to think that these guys are the wave of the future, and a lot of coaches are going to be looking for that because the pass rush has gotten everybody knows it's a quarterback-driven league, so what the quarterback do mainly? He throws the ball. So how do you counter that? You have a strong pass rush to get to the quarterback so he can't throw the ball down the field. So how do you counter that? You get a mobile quarterback, so he's not in the pocket. He moves left and right out of the pocket or runs with the ball to counteract that pass rush. So you're going to start seeing this more and more. The wave of the future is the quarterback being more of a threat in the running game, which I highly agree with, which is going to benefit those that play fantasy football, because you have to think about this. Just like I always said, I like running backs that are a dual threat, that can run the ball and catch the ball. Now you have a quarterback that can run the ball, and then he can pass the ball. So he's a dual-threat quarterback now, not a quarterback like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, who you have to depend on yardage and throwing the ball down the field to get touchdowns. A guy like Colin Kaepernick, a guy like RG3, or a guy like Russell Wilson, and I'm not dispelling anybody else, I'm just giving you three examples there. These guys run the ball and can get into the end zone running the ball, can gain yardage down the field, running the ball, and can also sit in the pocket or move in and on either side of the so-called pocket and deliver the ball with accuracy down the field and give you points that way. So these are dual-threat quarterbacks that are just probably combined with their rushing touchdowns, because a lot of them get in the end zone, along with their passing touchdowns, can compete with the elite pocket quarterbacks like a Drew Brees, like a Tom Brady, like a Peyton Manning. So you go into your fantasy draft, and I'm getting away from what I'm really talking about, but I'll bring it back full circle. You go into your fantasy draft this year versus next year. Okay, now you have a more of a choice of quarterbacks than what you call elite quarterbacks. You have more choices. Let me just name the quarterbacks before I go any further. Let me just name some quarterbacks here. Robert Griffin III, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, Eli Manning, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, and that's 10, if I'm not mistaken. That's 11, that's 12. That's 12 quarterbacks I named. Robert Griffin, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, Eli Manning, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick. That's 12 quarterbacks. 12. Okay? Now, of those quarterbacks, Who would you be unhappy with? You get my point? You get my point. You're going into a standard 12-team league in fantasy. You don't have to pick a quarterback in the first round. Okay? You don't have to pick a quarterback in the third round. Chances are, because of all the other players that are in there, that you can wait maybe in the fourth round. Maybe in the fourth round or fifth round, maybe, depending on how your draft is going, to pick one of those 12 quarterbacks. True, there's always going to be one or two people in your draft in a 12-team league. Now, 12-team, in a 10-team, you could probably go a little deeper because if you got 12 quarterbacks, and I didn't even mention Tony Romo and Michael Vick. So I didn't even mention these guys, and they're still out there. Of the 12 I mentioned, a quarter of the 12 I mentioned were mobile quarterbacks. Okay, considered very mobile quarterbacks, guys that would take the ball and run down the field more often than the other quarterbacks. You don't have to pick a quarterback in the first round. Understand that. Because there's at least 12 quarterbacks that you would be happy with. And that list is growing. Okay? That list of quarterbacks is growing. Meaning, and I'll get back to the playoffs that's going to take place today. But I just wanted to make this point clear to people that who always take a quarterback, not always, but find it compelling to take quarterbacks in the first round. When I've always preached this, and I'll keep on preaching it. I've always done this, and I'll keep on doing it. I've always taken a running back in the first round. Never, ever have I taken a wide receiver or a quarterback. Never, ever. And I won't. And you know what? The trend is this. Next year, the so-called experts are going to be saying you shouldn't have to be taking a quarterback in the first round because there's so many choices at quarterback that you don't have to just take a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning in the first round. You can wait. You can wait. Grab that elite running back, which is hard to find. Grab that elite running back two in the second round, which is hard to find. Okay? Think about a wide receiver in the second round that you may not have been taking. Maybe because you took a quarterback in the first round, now you're trying to get a running back in the second round. You don't have to do that. You can wait on a quarterback. I understand it's a quarterback-driven league. That's the sexy position. But, I'm telling you, you take a quarterback in the second, third, fourth round. I've never taken a quarterback before. Had a bad season this year, but that doesn't happen that often. I've always taken, fourth and fifth round of my fantasy drafts is when I take a quarterback because I try to gear up on the positions that I like the most. And I'm thinking my philosophy of taking a running back in the first round, which a lot of people do, but some people don't, even in the late part of the round, they try taking a quarterback or a wide receiver. Not going to happen with me. I take a running back. Elite running back is hard to find. I understand there's a lot of running backs out there, but Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, Jamal Charles, Arian Foster, LeSean McCoy, Doug Martin, C.J. Spiller, Trent Richardson, okay? That's nine, okay? Where are they going to fall? They're not going to fall into the second round. You better grab them up in the first because they damn sure won't be in there. In the second round, or even thinking about any of those guys in the third round. And I didn't even mention Marshawn Lynch or Alfred Morris, or DeMarco Murray. So that's 12 guys right there. Some of those guys are going to probably be in the second round because some guy is still going to take a quarterback in the first round, which is a big mistake because then he's scrambling to get a running back, and then he's scrambling to get another one of these positions in your other skill positions because you took a quarterback in the first round. You don't have to. You do not have to do that. I hate keep pounding a dead horse or beating a dead horse, but I'm telling you, you don't have to do it. Just think about that, and let's move on and back to the playoffs, and let's talk about what's happening today, and that's the Seattle Seahawks on a hot streak. They're the now team. They're the team that everyone is talking about because of the young mobile quarterback, Russell Wilson, and the amount of points that they've been putting up week after week. I think averaging a little over 30 points a week over the last 5 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, and going up against another high-powered offense who's been sitting and waiting, the number one seed in the NFC. And the Atlanta Falcons playing at home in Atlanta. Seattle's walking in there with a very extremely strong defense with very big corners. Mr. Richard Thomas and Bernard Browner, I think his name is. These two guys are very big corners, very physical corners. And I said it last week, and it was a very, very extremely physical game. Physical game last week against the Redskins. I don't know if I kind of doubted if RG3 was healthy that they would have won that game because Seattle had a very strong game on both sides of the ball. But this is a different story here. The second game on the road, Seattle's flying across country again, playing a team that they hadn't seen all year. Now, you have to think about this. This is the only game of the four playoff games that is not a repeat of the regular season. Baltimore played Denver and lost to Denver. Green Bay played San Francisco, lost to San Francisco. And Houston played New England and lost big time against New England. Seattle and Atlanta have not seen each other. They're brand new to each other. I don't think that's an advantage to either one of them. I think it's a disadvantage. That means they have to rely a lot on game film and tendencies from each team. But I can guarantee you one thing, that Seattle is definitely going to be very physical with the wide receivers, Roddy White and Julio Jones. But these guys are big too, 6'3", 6'2", give or take. So this should be very interesting because these guys are tall receivers and physical, strong receivers. It's not like they can get pushed around like maybe the Washington Redskins' smallest wide receivers were. Even though they were fighting them, and they were very physical back and forth between the cornerback and the receiver in the last week's game, I think Seattle's DBs won that battle. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that and get away with it without getting called for some type of penalty between the wide receivers and the DBs of Seattle and Atlanta, respectively. So you have to think about this. Who's going to win this game? Atlanta is favored by 2.5. I took Atlanta in this game. If you notice, I've, for the most part, shied away from picking winners and losers on this program. Other programs, I've been asked to pick winners and losers. On this program, for the most part, I have not done that. This week, I'm compelled to do that because this is getting down to closer and closer to the Super Bowl. So the focus is a little bit narrower, and I can give you my opinion on what I think. Now, not to say it's going to be a stone cold lock decision, but I'm just giving you my feelings on what I think is going to happen in this game, and who's going to prevail. Now I went 50-50 yesterday. I went San Francisco yesterday, and I went Denver, thinking that the momentum that Denver had winning those games, even though they had to sit out a week, that they would be able to prevail on Baltimore, because Baltimore is not a good road team. They're 4-4, and I was thinking that Joe Flacco didn't play well on the road, which he did very well on the road yesterday. He played extremely well, and Peyton Manning and company would prevail with a good defense playing at home in Mile High, but. You never can measure the Ray Lewis factor, him inspiring his team and willing to will his team to a win. So it is what it is, and we'll move on. Like I said, to Seattle, Atlanta. I like Atlanta in this game. I think Atlanta is going to, and I know, you know, I'm really stepping out on a limb here. This is not a stone cold lock, in my opinion. These two games today are a lot closer than the ones that were yesterday, in my opinion. I think Atlanta, playing at home, think they have a point to prove. Matty Ice doesn't have a playoff win yet. They had the number one seed last year. And they lost it. And they lost it decisively. The Giants kicked their ass. So Seattle's coming in there with a hot team, very confident on how they feel. I shouldn't say how they feel. Very confident and feel that they can beat the world right now. The quarterback is playing extremely well, way beyond his years. And candidate for Rookie of the Year, and deservedly so. Against a very strong defense, a very good running game. The only weak spot, and I'm not saying it's really a weak spot, but the only weak spot they may have is they don't have any. I don't know if they don't have any big time wide receivers. Named wide receivers. They got Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin, and Sidney Rice. Who? That's exactly what I'm saying. Sidney Rice is probably the bigger of the three names I named, but he's not a real big name. He's been somewhat of I wouldn't say a bust, but he's been shaky because he's always hurt. He's always chipped up some way or the other. But they've been playing well of late. Is that going to run its course today? At 1 o'clock, or is Seattle going to take another give Falcons another loss? Falcons are 7-1 at home. Seattle is 4-5 on the road. 8-0 at home. So, what's that saying to you? But the Falcons have been known to lay an egg in the playoffs. Tony Gonzalez says he's 95% sure that this is his last year. He's going to reflect on it after the season. Who's it going to be? That rookie is a huge leader for that team. well poised, whether he's running the ball or throwing the ball down the field, whether he makes a mistake or a big play. Matty Ice, he's got that no-huddle offense going with two big-time receivers and a tight end. Cam Chancellor is probably going to be on Tony Gonzalez. Richard Thomas on one wide receiver. Browner on the other wide receiver. This is going to be a chess match. Both these games today are going to be very interesting. But we're talking about Seattle-Atlanta right now. Who's it going to be? I like Atlanta. In a close game, 2.5. Excuse me. I think Atlanta can win this game by more than 2.5. I think Russell Wilson is probably going to throw for one and pass, throw for one and run for one, meaning a touchdown. Marshawn Lynch. Atlanta has a pretty good run defense. Their weakness is their pass defense. They have a pretty good run defense. So Marshawn Lynch, he's been in beast mode for a while, and they rely heavily on Marshawn Lynch. So I think he can get 100 yards in this and probably a touchdown. Zach Miller has been playing a big role of late in the last few weeks. He's the wild card in this. All three of those guys can be effective, it may be a long day for Atlanta. But you get Matty Ice. I think he's going to definitely throw for two touchdowns. They're going to try to curtail Julio Jones and Roddy White, but there's always Harry Douglas, who's a slot receiver, that can cause some havoc. Tony Gonzalez is a beast. Is a beast, people. And he's not going to go down without a fight. I guarantee you that. Especially playing, thinking strongly that this may be the last hurrah for him. He's not going to go down lightly. The Seahawks lost their best pass rusher, Chris Clemens. So this should be a very interesting game, but I do like Atlanta Falcons. Now, I'm talking about basketball. Atlanta Falcons in this game, because I do believe the Atlanta Falcons are going to prevail. They got another year of disappointment, and I think Matty Ice is not going to fall the way of Peyton Manning, meaning very strong in the regular season. Very strong in the regular season and whimper out quickly in the playoffs. When he came into the league, described him as a Peyton Manning type, that he could be the next Peyton Manning. Well, hopefully he's not taking on the tendencies of what Peyton Manning does in the playoffs. But you got to be good enough and play well enough to get your team into the playoffs in order to have an opportunity to advance in the playoffs. So you got to give him credit, even though it's maybe limited credit. You got to give him credit that he at least gets his team into the playoffs and is able to get at least one playoff game. You gain that experience. Sooner or later, you have to get over the hump and get that one playoff win. I think if the Falcons, and I do believe they're going to get their playoff the playoff win that Matty Ice is looking for. If they get that playoff win, and then they'll get their confidence back. They don't have that monkey on their back, and they can do some damage. They would go up against San Francisco, but San Francisco will be coming home, coming to their home, they would have to they would have to, excuse me there for a minute. A friend of mine was calling me. Maybe he forgot I was on the show. Anyway, they would have to play well because San Francisco, if the Atlanta Hawks, why do you keep on saying Atlanta Hawks? Atlanta Falcons host them for the NFC Championship. They would have to bring their AAA game, let me put it that way, because the fact is San Francisco is very confident right now, especially their quarterback. The quarterback's riding the high. His first quarterback went in the playoffs, and Matty Ice hasn't got one, and he's been in the league for 3-4 years. And Colin Kaepernick, this is his only second year, and he didn't play a full season. So you have to think that they will be very confident. If they beat a real stout Seattle team who's clicking on all cylinders, we'll wait and see. That starts at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I'll be sitting in front of the screen with my popcorn ready and my drink in my hand watching this and see what takes place because I'm very anxious to see these two games. Now, you got about 18 minutes left in this show. I'm not going to spend 18 minutes on this, but I'm going to spend a little bit of time because this happens to be my team. I went to a wedding last night. My nephew got married, God bless him, to a very beautiful woman, and had a good time. But, you know, I'm sitting around with my family members, my brothers, who are also, we're a big football fan family. We all have our different teams. One has the Kansas City, my nephew has the Kansas City Chiefs he likes. One other brother likes the Giants. One other brother, my older brother, he likes the Jets. I used to be a Jets fan along with him, but I changed, as you all people know. Another one is a Cincinnati Bengal fan. My niece and my sister, I'm telling you, we're football. We love to watch football. My other sister shed a tear or two because her Broncos lost in overtime last night. So even though she was having a good time at the wedding, she wasn't having a good time because she was following the score and saw the score on her smartphone that the Broncos lost in overtime on a field goal. So it was bittersweet. And I also have a niece who happens to be a Giant fan, and my niece's husband is a Cowboy fan. So we have different choices. And if you don't know, I'm a Houston, Texas fan. So we have different. No one's the same, okay, basically. Everybody has their own team, and they root for their own team. And my wife is a Niners fan. So we go back and forth and laugh and joke with each other. The point is this. We're sitting down at the table around where all our family is. We're talking and talking about the game and what happened, what's taking place. And the conversation goes into tomorrow, which is the Houston and New England. And consensus said New England's going to win the game. I said, you know what? It just goes to prove just because the overall consensus says that the team, and like I said, there's 3 out of 4 teams this week that played each other one time before. Baltimore played Denver and lost at Denver. Green Bay playing San Francisco and lost to San Francisco. And the other one is Houston playing New England and got trounced by New England. Houston played New England, got trounced by New England. And that was the first of 3 games they lost in of the last 4. Okay. And so I'm saying this. Denver was a huge favorite going into that game yesterday. Baltimore wins. Green Bay and San Francisco, a lot of people were picking Green Bay, thinking that they would be able to beat San Francisco. Green Bay didn't win it. San Francisco did. I'm saying the same thing. about Houston and New England. Houston has players back that they didn't have before. Quite naturally, New England has players back that they didn't have before. Okay. But I can guarantee you that Houston is going to play a better game at New England at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time than they did the first time. Matt Schaub, he got his bugs, he got his little confidence back, I guess. That was his first playoff game he played ever last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. So he's riding on a little confidence. They're going to be running the ball a lot. Arian Foster, Ben Tate are going to be running the ball down the Patriots' throats. Who's to say? They got trounced the last time, so everybody thinks, well, it's New England playing in New England. Well, just because they're playing New England doesn't mean they can't get beat. Just because they're playing in New England doesn't mean New England's going to trounce them again. Just because they're playing New England doesn't mean that the Houston Texans cannot beat them. Anything can happen. You could talk all you can hypotheticals all you want. You can pick out all the ones you want, any kind of hypothetical that you want that says New England's going to win the game. You can believe what the media. I never, ever, with the so-called experts, I never go along with the so-called experts. My eye test is what I look at. The eye test, what I look at, what I see. I saw the last time they played each other, they had a bad game, extremely bad game. Nothing that they did, and it happens to teams. It happens to the best of teams. I'm talking about the Houston Texans when they played the Patriots last time. They had the best of teams have bad games. And everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong in that game, and they paid for it. Excuse me, they paid for it. It's not going to happen again. I understand it's a Bill Belichick team. That's set out a week. So they have 2 weeks to prepare for whoever wins Cincinnati between Cincinnati and Houston. So they have game tape on Houston actually playing them. So you figure that Bill Belichick, Tom Brady and company are going to be able to do the same thing they did last time. Well, that's not necessarily the case. That was a month ago. I understand we played I'm talking about the Houston Texans, played poorly from that game until the end of the season. But this is the playoffs. Whole different scenario. We're 0-0. Whoa, we're 1-0 now, and the Patriots are 0-0. So it's one and done. You put a pass rush up the middle at Tom Brady. He's less effective. He's lost four times this year. He lost in the Super Bowl when everyone figured that, the majority of people figured that, except for Giant fans, that Tom Brady would avenge the loss that the Giants put on him a few years back. Didn't happen. Same scenario. Tom Brady gets the bull rush, get pass rush from the Giants, and what happens? The Giants come up with another win from the Patriots. Don't believe the hype. I got a caller that's calling in. Let's bring him in here. Caller from the 202, welcome to the master plan. You're talking to the master. Welcome there, Mr. Gardner.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
That's wonderful. I just want to tell everybody, have they listened to the show yesterday? FSP's 2-0, JT's 0-2.
No. I picked San Francisco.
Oh, you did? I thought you picked the Pack.
No, I was torn. I said I picked San Francisco, but I think the Pack's going to win.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure.
Mm-hmm.
And FSP is calling it again. We're calling ATL, them Dirty Birds, and your team, the Texans.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
You know what?
I did yesterday.
Okay. Well, since you're on my show, why don't you, since you're on my show, explain to me, because I want to hear your train of thought on why you think that the Texans are going to avenge the loss that the Patriots handed on earlier today.
Well, I heard the tail end of what you were saying, and I'll say this, and I said it for the other two games. If you run the ball, you keep the quarterback on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the Ravens needed a little help yesterday with Peyton getting the ball batted in the air and intercepted. But Ray Rice had 131 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Gore had 119 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick, 180 yards rushing
mm-hmm.
from the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The key words there, rushing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
If, and I said it yesterday, Ben Tate and Foster can run the ball with the offensive line. They need to control the clock and the line of scrimmage. If Ben Tate, Arian Foster get like 3-4 yards a pop, you know, and you're changing them in and out to keep them fresh, Vince Wilfork is a big guy, very big guy. He will get tired, and at some point, they'll either sub him out or he'll get run over. Or run through them. That will set up the play action pass for Andre Johnson, for Owen Daniels, for all those guys. And it keeps Tom Brady, Gronk, and the crew on the sideline. If they get in a shooting contest with them, it will be lights out, game over, New England. But if Kubiak's offensive coordinator does what he's supposed to do, the first, I'd say, 15 plays, 10 of them are runs, and the first 3 are runs, they'll win the game if they continue to pound the ball. Get those guys tired. Use that stretch offense, that stretch run, stretch left, stretch right, inside zone. You know, just do it and worry about the consequences later. If they get up 7, fine. That just means you, when you get the ball next, you grind it out, and you have to get some points. But you got to keep Brady on the sideline. So that's my formula for winning a game.
Okay. I have.
By the way,
yeah.
I'm sorry. By the way, Django was funny. It was not racist. I thought it was hilarious. I just want to put that out there since Matt
okay.
said that yesterday.
I talked to my I was telling you, I went to a wedding yesterday. My nephew got married. excuse me. And my older brother had gone to see a movie, and he said it was good. He said Jamie Foxx tore it up. So.
Oh, it was hilarious, man.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was going to be a serious movie. It was
mm-hmm.
a serious moment. It's serious moments, but it was funny. And the N-word is used a lot. But
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it in the context of during that time frame, it was used a lot. Now, I get it. It was a movie much like Pulp Fiction where
mm-hmm.
it was meant to be serious, but there were points that you just had to laugh. You know, there were just points. I mean, we had people of different colors in there just bawling out laughing at them. Leonardo DiCaprio is funny. He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell you, Mac and the character that Samuel Jackson played
mm-hmm.
remind me of Uncle Ruckus from the Boondocks. I swear to God. Uncle Ruckus, the white man's world, drinking the white man's water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It was funny. But that has nothing to do with the show. So.
Well, no. We talk about everything on this show, man. Come on. It don't make a difference what it is. We talk about it. And I wanted to get your I'm so glad you gave me another affirmation of this movie that I'm probably going to go be seeing sometime this week. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, one of the things I talked about, we got about 5 minutes in the show. I want to get your opinion on. And you may want to keep this in the back of your mind. It has to pertain to fantasy and drafting.
Colin Kaepernick?
Well, that, and the reason why I brought it up is this. There is, and I named them off, 12 quarterbacks, four of those who are mobile quarterbacks that are more than likely rated in the top 12 or top 15, whatever. That, and the point I was making it, that there's more choices of quarterbacks than it's been in the past, that you don't have to, in a 12-team fantasy league, take a quarterback. There's always going to be somebody to take a quarterback in the first round. You know, my train of thought is this, and I've always done this, that my first pick is always going to be a running back, regardless. It's always going to be a running back, and sometimes I pick running back in the first two rounds. My thinking is this, that because all these quarterbacks, you don't have to take a quarterback in the first round. You don't necessarily have to take a quarterback in the second round. You can wait past the second round. Possibly, depending on how your draft's going, you may pick a quarterback in my favorite round, the fifth round, and still be able to get a good quarterback that's going to give you some good numbers, because there's such a choice, so many choices of a quarterback that's going to give you solid numbers with the addition of quarterbacks that are a dual threat. Like a Colin Kaepernick, like a Cam Newton, like RG3, like Russell Wilson. So to name the four that I'm talking about. So I just want to get your opinion on that.
I'll say this. Two things. Actually, you brought up, I'll say this one first. I don't see how Cleveland picked their head coach as, you know, the Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator. When your star quarterback says the offense is stinking and something needs to change, that says to me that the play calling is abysmal, but yet Cleveland hires this guy as their head coach. And then he turns around and gets Norv Turner as the offensive coordinator, which is cool. Which is cool to offense, because Norv knows offense.
And he knows quarterbacks.
Yes, and he can work with Brandon Whedon. He has his big three again. He has a running back, a quarterback, and a wide receiver. And he has a young tight end up there in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So Brandon Whedon, if he's still there, will benefit. And he's a sleeper pick that I have coming into next year.
You have that. Is he sitting into your – what kind of car do you drive?
I drive a Jeep Patriot.
Oh, is he sitting in the back seat of your Patriot, Brandon Whedon?
Yeah. Nah, the way you got to Michael Finley and all those guys, no. But, no, I'll say this. I'll say it's with the help of Norv Turner, that young old guy will be a top quarterback next year. And he's one of those guys I'm stashing away for, like, the 17th, 18th pick, maybe my last pick of the draft, because people aren't expecting much from him. Quarterbacks. I'll use your philosophy because it worked out well for me this year. It really did. I actually listened to you and I took your philosophy in most of my drafts, except for one, and I won a championship in that one anyway. But the draft that we had, where I got Jamal Charles, AP, Matthews, and I think Victor Cruz before I got Matt Ryan. And I think it was in that order.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was Gronkowski. I got Jamal. No, I got Gronkowski, Victor Cruz, then Jamal Charles, and AP. Then I got Matt Ryan in that
mm-hmm.
league.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this: Matt Ryan was not that far off, if not better, than Brady or Breeze or Rodgers this year.
That's the point I'm making. But go ahead.
Yeah. And also, a guy that usually gets looked over but is always there is Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Ben gives you decent numbers as well. He's not going to give you the 70, 80 points in our format, but he'll give you a good 40 or 50 consistently. And if you get top-tier running backs, that means you'll have, you know, in our league, in our system, you have a 40 quarterback, you have a 40, two 40 running backs, and maybe a 20-something wide receiver, that's over 100 right there. And you haven't even gotten to the tight end and the defense, the players and stuff like that. So you're sitting pretty. You don't need to waste that pick, in my opinion.
Right. And that's the point I've been making for as long as we've been talking to each other about fantasy, is that you don't have to pick a freaking quarterback. And I never understand why anyone would waste – I'm saying that's not a waste of pick, but in my opinion, it's a wasted pick if you pick a quarterback or even a wide receiver, in my opinion, because running backs are probably the toughest to find. A consistent running back, especially a running back that is a dual threat.
Three down
and a dual threat running back. And most of these running backs are that. The top running backs are dual threat running backs. And they'll give you points in the passing game, give you points in the running game. And it's more so than not that.
I was going to say, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I got to say this because it's important. It also depends on your scoring system. If your quarterback only gets you 4 points per touchdown, and you get 1 point for every 25 yards, in my opinion, he isn't the first-round pick. I don't care if it's Drew Brees. I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers. If you're in a system such as ours where you get points for every attempt but you lose points for every incompletion, a person like Carson Palmer will throw the ball a lot, but he'll also have a bunch of incompletes. You know, but Aaron Rodgers is a viable threat. You know, Cam Newton is a viable threat. Not as high as a first rounder, in my opinion. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, is a first rounder. If you're at the bottom and you get a back-to-back pick, you know, it's worth it if he lasts that long. But, and I think, here's his prediction. I think with this upcoming NFL draft, you'll see 7 to 8 of the first picks running backs. And I'll explain after you finish with what you're saying.
No. You go ahead.
Well, I'll say it like this. I'll run down the top backs. You've got AP, possibly number one next year.
Mm-hmm.
Arian Foster. Brady McCord. Ray Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to do it. I don't know. I would probably do it if it's in the later round. Doug Martin.
Right.
That's six right there, right?
Yes, that's six. That's six. I'm looking at a list, and the six you named are the top six.
And some people might jump out there, depending on RG3 or not. Alfred Morris. Then you look at Run DMC still might be up there because somebody might be stupid enough. CJ Spiller is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's eight. I mean, that's nine guys right there before we even got to Drew Brees, before we even got to Aaron Rodgers, before we even get to Tom Brady.
My point exactly.
And I didn't even mention MJD, who's coming back. A lot of people aren't going to pick him in the first round. He'll probably slip to the second or third round, which is cool for me. But he's going to come to camp. He's going to be there healthy. He's going to be good. And then the sleeper pick I got next year running back, Rashad Mendenhall.
I don't like him at all. He's too injury prone and too inconsistent.
But I'll take him in the fourth or fifth round.
Well, he's probably worth the pick there. But I don't like him. You know what? I told you I liked the other one more, Jonathan Dwyer. I like him better than I like Mendenhall, and he's proved to play better than Mendenhall. So.
Oh, yeah, I got you. But, I mean, just that point there of those running backs that I mentioned, some people might not pick, you know, Doug Martin in the first round this year. Some people might not pick Alfred Morris in the first round this year. But the rest of them, did I even mention Arian Foster? You know, those guys are number one picks. And if you have a 10 to 12-man league, you know, it's crazy. You won't see Andre Johnson go in the first round. Somebody might even go get Megatron in the first round.
Yep, that's definitely going to happen.
Before they get a quarterback. You know what I mean? And is the quarterback position, unless you're a dual-threat quarterback, a young dual-threat quarterback, I see a running back going in the first round in any PPR, you know, that is looking to bolster because that young scat back that can catch the ball and run the ball is taking over. Frank Gore is a beast, but he's no longer a first-round pick, in my opinion. AP is the exception because of the youth he just had.
Boy, it makes me proud that you really listen to what I have to say.
Shut up. Shut up, you fool. You old fool. You're an old fool. That's okay. I listen. I might not act like I listen, but I listen.
But that's good because you won some championships. I feel good about that, man. I really feel good about that.
You can only claim one. You can only claim one, and that was ESPN because that's the one where I really took your advice. But the rest of them, I went on my own.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
You know, Matty Ice, the Matty Ice picks in Black's league and the other ESPN league are. Okay, I give you that. But
okay.
I picked Drunk in our ESPN league because of the show we had. We went over the tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I'll get Grunk before I get Megatron because I was hell-bent not to get Megatron. And it could have hurt me this year, but it didn't. So.
Okay.
That's like, hey, and by the way, Kaepernick and Crabtree. Next year's biggest and best wide receiver QB combination coming out, young QB and quarterback combination.
Huge, man, huge. I was watching it yesterday, and no lie, and I hate to say it like this, but I was getting goosebumps because these guys were so freaking good. The combination was so good, I was just shaking my head and saying, damn. And they just, in my opinion, they're just scratching the surface of how good these guys can be together. So that's what
they drafted Crabtree to do when he came out of Texas Tech. But because they didn't have the quarterback, they couldn't use him that way, and he was immature.
Mm-hmm.
And you see they're moving away from Vernon Davis more,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of good because that means if Crabtree grabs some double teams, Vernon will get some opportunities as Kaepernick learns to use his tight end,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little more.
Right.
But next year, those two guys are going to be top-notch guys.
Right. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we've come to the end of the show. We're in fact, in overtime, but I don't care. I don't know. Whatever. It happens. And I want to thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts before the show went off. And people didn't get to hear your knowledge. I really appreciate that. Tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is the place to be if you want to talk to me. I am the master. This is the master plan. Also on Thursday will be the FSP Crew Show. I host that show along my two great co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. We'll be talking about sports, also probably talking about the what took place this past weekend, and whatever else happens in the sports or fantasy or political world leading up to Thursday. And then we have the No Chaser Show with Mac Williams being the host, me being the co-host. We got the basketball player. I think he's a former N1 basketball player, the professor, as a guest. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the place to be for that show. And on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in the afternoon, it'll be the FSP show, the home show, the mothership, which is founded by none other than Mr. Vic Gardner. I'll be the co-host of that. He may be there. If not, I'll be handling the ship and piling it. On Saturday. With that being said, and all that, Mr. Gardner, is there something you want to say before we walk out of here?
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much, Jerry, for being the mentor and the old person that you are to take over and do the things that I need done when I'm not available. You're a good steward. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, the proof is in the pudding. When I look at the ratings today, they would have spiked when I called in at 7:47. asshole. You know, the ratings went up when I called in. But I want to thank everybody for all their parts in making these programs what they are. So with that being said, for JT, oh, did you want to intro a song or something before I...
Nope.
Okay. For JT, ATM Money, the master, with the master plan, I am Mr. FSP, that is Vic. You've been listening to the master plan. Hit his music.
Selling out. Teach them what pride is all about. Go out and tell them it's time to take a stand. YZ.